Don't take much to sleeping in or what have you. But every once in a while, I have my days. And there was one not too long ago that I just really argued with myself back and forth. Do I want to get out of bed yet? Do I really want to get to it? And so I kind of drug myself out, and I just trying to talk myself into getting started and getting it going. I got the engine running, but I clearly wasn't running on all cylinders. And I kept going back and forth. Maybe I should just go back to bed. I don't really have to get up this early to exercise. And you miss one day's exercise, that's not going to kill anybody. And I kept going back and forth in my own mind and just, I can go back. I'll just do this much, and then I'll reconsider what's all going on. I don't know if you've ever had an argument with yourself. You talk to yourself a lot, but sometimes I argue with myself. And just while I was arguing, I just kept working out. And by the time I figured out, maybe I will go back, I was already done, so might as well get the day started there. Now, I don't usually argue with myself. I'm not too hard on myself. I'm usually kind of an encourager. I like to think about things that help me get going. Sometimes in the morning, I've had a bad dream. I just don't feel so well. And I know how to get my engine running. I know how to lube the joints. I know scriptures to quote. And I have thoughts that I put in my mind that help me to get going. And that's basically what David is doing in Psalm 103. He puts together a bunch of stuff that helps him to get moving forward. Psalm 103, the first five verses to start with. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask you to give us joy so that we can spend that joy on you. Spend that joy developing praise and words of uplift and encouragement to you. I know you don't need our encouragement, but for some reason, you love our praise. It brings you close. It brings you in. And so we love to worship you all the more. Lord, help us to become great worshipers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The angels are walking on the roof or something, I guess. I'm not a race fan per se, but, and I don't know if they do this anymore, you can fill me in here, but they used to start races, gentlemen, start your engines. Do they still do that? Oh, they do, okay. And they actually use gentlemen, not people. Racers now. Okay, well, I thought maybe there was something in there. But gentlemen, start your engines. And I think that's maybe what David was considering when he wrote this psalm. How does he start his engine? Well, first he tells himself to start praising the Lord, and then he tells himself why he should be praising the Lord. Now, David was a king. He had a lot of responsibility. First of all, he had a bunch of wives. Just saying. And then he was a warrior king. You know, it says in the scripture in the spring when kings went off to war. Every single year of his life, there were battles. He had to go out hand-to-hand combat, and everything was in flux. Sometimes his land got invaded. Sometimes they invaded other lands. But the decisiveness of a battle, not only would men die, but families would be carted off by other peoples, put into slavery, so on and so on. There was a lot of pressure on this guy. And then there were all the domestic things that were going on. Clean water and abundant food and what to do about this and what to do about that. A lot of pressure. You know, he wasn't just I'm king. I'm going to sit in my ivory palace and everybody's going to serve me. No, he was responsible for absolutely everything. And there were people that wanted him dead. There were people that wanted to replace him all the time. And all that stuff was going on. So you can imagine that sometimes he might have had a rough night, didn't get any sleep. He's trying to rouse himself in the morning. And he's thinking, How am I going to face life again? And if he didn't get his ship floating, it was going to sink because of all of this stuff. And the first thing that comes to his mind when he thinks about God's benefits, who forgives all my sins? He forgives all my sins. Some of those hard nights, I'm sure, were memories of things that he had done wrong. You ever have that foreboding kind of feeling like you did something wrong? Maybe don't even know what it might have been, but you just don't feel right. And you've got this cloud hanging over you as you go, I don't feel like I did enough or did it well. And I'm sure I offended somebody. I don't know how I did it or what it might have been, but I'm sure there must be something wrong. I feel a disturbance in the force. You ever been there? And it's sweet to remember, I'm forgiven. He forgives me of all of my sin. You know, how we view God makes all the difference in the world. If you view him as judge, and he's just waiting for you to mess up so he can stomp you one, if you see him as harsh, well, you're going to have a hard life. But if you see him as your friend, somebody that you can talk to about anything that's going on, and that he forgives you of everything, he lifts the burdens. Recognizing our forgiveness allows us to rise. It fills us up. It gives us strength. It frees us to move about our day. Do you know you're forgiven? Now, I want to be careful here because I don't want just everybody in the whole world to just assume, oh, well, hey, how about that? We're all forgiven. Not necessarily. Are you forgiven? If you've been to the cross, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, then yes, you're forgiven. To question that after you've asked God to forgive you is to call him a liar, is to doubt what he has promised to you. And one of the keys to acquiring things in Scripture is to have faith, to believe it. I've mentioned before that there was a time in my life I spent most of my prayer time apologizing to God for everything I did wrong. And then finally he had enough of it and he said to me, hey, do you believe that I forgive you when you ask forgiveness? I said, yeah. He said, well, then say, I'm sorry, and go on. Let's get on with it. And my prayer life changed. It took a step up. It became a prayer life, not just a, oh, I know I'm a jerk, and I'm so sorry for, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I was driving the poor Lord nuts with all of that. And so you have to grasp your forgiveness. You say, thank you, Lord, that I am forgiven. And even apply your forgiveness. Maybe there's a sin that's hanging on. Use forgiveness to pry it free from your life. God, I know you've already forgiven me for this. And I need your help, but I know that I'm going to be free because you've forgiven me. And when God forgives, he releases us from it. It has no more hold on us. We are free. So stop smacking yourself on the forehead every day and just lift your hands and say, oh, thank you, Lord. There are days I don't like myself. How about you? What, you don't like me either? But he still does. He loves me no matter what. Having friends in high places has great benefits. Who heals all your diseases. You may be sick right now, but God is healing you. It's only a matter of time. You may have been sick for 34 years. God is healing you. It's only a matter. You may die of this illness. You're going to be well on the other side. You're going to be free. He's always about the healing ministry. He heals us from all. Isn't it amazing? How many people have a body? You brought your body with you to church today? Isn't it amazing that there's always something that hurts? I mean, it's just always something. As soon as one thing gets resolved, then there's something else. I thought it was just us old guys, but I was talking to a younger friend of mine the other day, and he said, yeah, isn't that crazy? You know, your elbow feels better, now your knee hurts. It just is something about life. And I think it's just a reminder that God's always on the job. Oh, my knee hurts. Well, that reminds me, my elbow doesn't hurt anymore. Well, he's always healing something that's going on. And I've got this whole list of things. I often go through it in the morning when I'm out running. I think, Lord, wow, you feel this, you feel that. I'm 64 years old. I've been running since I was a little younger than 30. So it's 35 years I've been running now. And it was about 12 years ago, I had some problems with my left ankle. It just developed over time. It was just getting worse and worse. And I was running through it. And I remember one night I went to bed and I said, well, Lord, it's been a great run. I've run for 20 couple years, and that's more than any man could ask. And I just, but unless you heal my ankle tonight, I've run my last run. But thank you for 20 couple years. I got up the next morning. I stood on that ankle. It didn't hurt a bit. So, you know what you do? You test it out this way and that way. I thought, this stinking thing doesn't hurt. I went out on my run. I kept expecting, and I was very careful. And it hasn't hurt since. The kindness of God. The goodness. He didn't have to do that. But he just did. And again, body part. And I don't know how many viruses I've had in my lifetime. But I can tell you how many he's healed me of. Every one of them. I got that when that COVID hit me, man, I was out for 2 weeks. They were not two fun weeks at all. But I remember the morning I felt better. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had that fog in my mind and just was so tired all the time, low grade fever and everything. 2 o'clock in the morning, my eyes popped open and I felt like I could shoot like a rocket right through the roof. I felt so good. I couldn't wait to get out on another run and just take off like a rocket. Thank God for healing. Amen. Imagine if we had every scar we ever had, if every bone that broke was all you could, wouldn't heal again. That's the mystery of God within us. He heals all of your diseases. And again, confess that over whatever you're going through. Lord, it's been a long haul, but I know you're faithful and this is your word and I'm believing you for this. And it won't be long till there won't be any such thing as sickness or pain any longer. It's all because he's the author of healing. I've had acute pains and nagging pains, sharp, dull, aching, shooting pains. You've had it happen to you. You're standing there and all of a sudden a pain shoots through part of your body. You never felt it before. It hurt. It's enough to double you over and it's gone as quickly as it came. You say, what was that all about? Ha! Well, enjoy it while you can, because like I say, one of these days you won't be able to remember what pain felt like. God is so very faithful. And even for healthy people, we have our miserable days. We have our times. I remember when we were young married, I was a youth pastor in Monroeville, and I got the flu. And Barb came over to comfort me before she ran off to work. She sat on the side of the bed, and the bed collapsed. It was a cheap bed. And so while she goes off to work, I had to figure out a way to get the bed back up before I could crawl back into it. Mama said there'd be days like this. There'd be days like this, my mama said. And we have them. But thank God they're not every day. Thank God for good days. Thank God for when the sun is shining and it's bright outside. Oh, he deserves the praise. David writes, who redeems your life from the pit. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. He pulled me up out of the pit. More than once, he's pulled me up out of the pit. But it strikes me, he used the word redeemed. He redeems your life from the pit. How did David know, looking from the Old Testament, that God would pay a price for us? That he saw us as worthy to pay such a price for us? Old Testament, what did you do if you sinned? You brought a sheep, you brought a goat. It cost you something, right? You kind of paid for your transgression. But all that was looking forward to, no, he, and somehow, even in the Old Testament, David was able to see, the blood of sheep and goats could never do this. It's on God to forgive. And he redeemed my life. I don't know if you've thought of this lately, and we don't talk about it much in church anymore. But there is a place called hell. Eternal torment, eternal separation from God. And Jesus came and said, no, no, this one's not going to go there. That one's not going to go. He was nailed to that cross for us. So if you ever need a jump start to your praise, go back to the cross. Start singing. Start thinking about some of those cross songs that we sing. Like a rose, trampled on the ground. And he thought of me above all. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross crucified, for me he died. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. He's not just a God who sits far away. He doesn't just send nice thoughts. He suffered for us, and he suffers with us. He came so that he could feel the feelings of our infirmity. You ever see something happen to somebody else and it just kind of aches down your legs? You know, you go, oh, ah, at there. Jesus suffered. And now when we suffer, he feels it. And he knows it. And we're not alone in our suffering. That's when you call out to him, he understands. A lot of people say, well, you'll never understand. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. Oh, there's one. What a friend we have in Jesus. He knows exactly what we're going through. David said, He crowns us with love and compassion. He does things for us to let us know we're special. He will do things that just are anointed and bless the bejiggers out of us, whatever the bejiggers are. And he is just so kind. Wayne was mentioning the sunset. Up on the roof, saw the sunset. You realize everybody's angle is different from any sunset that goes on. It really is personal to each one of us. Every skyscape, the beautiful stars at night and so on, found money. You didn't know it was coming and you got a little extra money. Somebody gave you a gift. You cut into a watermelon in the middle of summer, and it's the best watermelon you ever ate in your life. Is that a treasure or what? You know, over and over and over again, the good things of God that just roll out. That's God speaking to you. I remember a couple years ago, I was invited to Monroeville to do a series on forgiveness. And at the end of the year, and I was, they have a prayer room, and I was in prayer, and I was really seeking God. I was saying, God, please help me so I can minister to these people. And God spoke to me, and he said, Joel, I did this for you. I said, what? He said, I thought you'd enjoy this. And I did. And I thought, this is wild. That God would arrange all of this just to let Joel know that Joel is special to him. Maybe not to anybody else. What? It doesn't matter. Friend, when you're special to God, woohoo! Hallelujah! And you are special to God. It's written right here in the scripture. He crowns us with love and compassion. You have anybody that loves you? Do you have anybody that lights up when you walk? That's one of the things I loved about babies. When you have a baby and you walk in, they light up. They know it's you. That's what I love about dogs. My dog is always happy to see me. I can go out the door for 5 minutes, come back in, and it's like party all over again. Hey, Daddy's home. Well, Daddy was really always home, but hey, thank you, you know. But God delights over us. And all these things are to color your world. A flower blooms in your garden. You know, there's a bumper crop this year. Whatever it might be, it's personal with your God. He crowns you with love and compassion. I find verse 5 amusing. I'm just living this. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives you good things to renew your youth. You ever feel old? you kind of dragging, you know? God loves to light you up. God is working at getting you younger. Yeah. And he does it by delighting you. So please, be delighted. Don't be a person that's hard to delight. You ever try to bless somebody? You ever try to cheer somebody and they won't have it? I mean, they are going to grump on you, and they're just not going to have any of this good stuff. Well, please don't. Please, relax. Let it go. Be delighted by what you see and what you hear. I remember I was walking out the dog the one day, and a bird flew overhead. And all of a sudden it hit me. Birds. God created birds. But God didn't create just one bird and one kind of bird. He created, I mean, think about how many different, there are little birds, there are big birds, there are all kind of, there are ugly birds, there are beautiful birds, there are all kind of stuff that's going on. And I thought, wow, God, when you create, you really show off. This is amazing. And then it hit me one day. Color. He didn't have to bless us with the ability to see color. But isn't color beautiful? Oh, Lord, thank you for that. And he gives us these discoveries. You know, that's another beautiful thing about children. You get a little toddler, they go, bird, bird. And all of a sudden, you didn't notice birds before. But now you see birds, you see cows, you see sheep. And you're appreciating things you didn't appreciate before. But now I'm finding out, now that I'm old, you don't even need a little kid along with you now to see bird, bird, cow, sheep. You know, you just start enjoying them all over again. And he'll satisfy you with things. New things will happen. Stuff you never thought you were going to do before, you find yourself doing and enjoying it. And thinking, wow, this is amazing what God is doing. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I think the 60s is my favorite decade of all. Some people want to go back. I wish I was young. Nah. I'm having a great time in my 60s. You've seen my Ford Mustang, right? I never asked for a Ford Mustang. God gave that to me. It's, you know, I'm playing racquetball 5-6 times a week. 3-4 years ago, it had been 40 years since I'd played racquetball. Now this old guy is. I'm your new youth pastor. Last Sunday morning, I got up excited thinking, oh good, we got youth tonight. That's, you know? And I'm maybe even more excited about the adults I work with as we work with the youth. Because they do all the stuff I don't want to do. They organize, they bring the food, they go to the outing, they do all this kind of stuff. I'm having the time of my life. I'm serious about that. I was walking in this morning thinking, I don't think I'm supposed to be this happy. I'm not sure I'm allowed to be this happy. But it's all God. It's all God and what he does. I could tell you about yesterday. It was a great day. I could tell you about what I'm excited about this week. It's going to be a great week. And it's God. He satisfies my desires. Desires I didn't know I had. You know? And it makes you feel young again. And it makes you feel so good. Now, I'm not going to get through the whole psalm, of course, at this pace, but I want to catch a few more cherries here. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Do you know God? Do you know him? Are you on like a first name basis? Do you talk to him about stuff? Do you allow yourself to get angry in his presence? Do you joke with God? Do you enjoy things? Do you say, oh, God, that's beautiful. That's amazing. Do you see that, God? Of course he sees it, but, you know, have those conversations. We love God because he's lovable. That's why we don't love God because it's, thou shalt love the Lord thy God or go to hell. No. There are a lot of people They're in fear loving God. But just get to know him. Talk more to him. Get into his word. Find out his heartbeat. This psalm is a great place to just contemplate. He's that good to us. He's so lovable. It's people that don't know him that keep casting aspersions. Well, if God's so loving, why is our... Ask him. Well, I'm not going to ask him because... Well, you should. And it's okay because this psalmist, he asked some pretty tough things and he vented all the time. So go ahead. God will help you through this if you'll let him. Some people can't wait to give God a piece of their mind. Oy. Yeah, really. Me, I can really understand that chorus, I can only imagine. What will that day be like? Will I run and hug him? Will I fall prostrate and not be able to move? Will I shout his praise or not be able to utter a word? I can only imagine. But no part of that is me giving him a piece of my mind or my, you know. No, not at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You do all things well. Verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children. Catch that. Dads, you love your kids. What would you do for them? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Like a father loves his children. Wow. Utterly amazing. Except for the fact of God, we're irrelevant. Except for God, we're like a wildflower that grew in a field that nobody ever even laid their eyes on. It withered one day, the wind blew the rest of it away, and nobody knew and nobody cared. Think about how many people in history we don't have a picture of. Now, of course, we do all these selfies and everything else now. We're taking all kind of video, and you know, God bless the next generation trying to sort through it all. Probably overload is kind of wipes out the whole purpose of it, but camera technology is rather modern thing for thousands of years, no such thing. If you had a picture at all, somebody drew it of you. And how many could afford for that to happen? Most names have disappeared in the sea of history. Most images, nobody knows who they were, what they did. God knows. Knows the name of each and every one of them. And knows where they are right now. And one of these days, God will reach down and he will pick you and he will set you in his kingdom forever. From everlasting to everlasting, it says. He will care for you, love over you, and bless you. These verses assure us that as we serve him, he'll take care of our kids and our grandkids. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great promise? How many have been messed up about your kids and grandkids lately? You're saying, oh, this world, how could any, I'm glad I'm not, yeah, I'm glad I'm not, how are they going to survive, especially after we're gone? He's still on the throne, did you forget that? And he promises, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him and his righteousness with their children's children. It's hereditary. It's contagious. And even if they're not serving him now, you just dig into God. Go after God and God will go after them. Isn't that a wonderful promise? As we pursue the Lord, he pursues our offspring. Oh, well, what if I did that? Maybe I should buy him a house and maybe I should go there and then maybe, and then maybe, and then maybe. Seek God and God will seek them. Hallelujah. What a great, great promise. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Maybe you forgot, or maybe you didn't know. He's in charge. His throne is in heaven. Nobody can attack it. There's no coup that's going to take place. He is solidly in control and always will be. You can relax because God is in charge. People come and go. Nations rise and fall. He was God at the beginning and ever will be. That's just the way it is. Verses 20 through 22. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. It's a great progression here. First of all, he calls on the angels and the hosts of heaven. Hey, all you heavenly beings, praise God. And then he looks around at the world and he says, everything that's created, praise the Lord. You bunnies who hop, you giraffes that stretch your necks out, you waterfalls and you trees that blossom, everything, give praise to God. And then he comes full circle around and he reminds himself. Mike Green is calling. I'd like to say that was unusual, but it's not. He comes down to himself and he reminds himself, okay, angels, praise God. Creation, praise God. Oh, I need to praise the Lord too. I give you praise, dear God. Well, we could say the government ought to recognize God more. My neighbor needs to get saved. People in the church ought to this. Am I worshiping the Lord? Am I worshiping my God? I had an unusual experience not too long ago. Barb and I were back visiting her brother who's in hospice, and we visited her aunt in the home. And Barb's aunt has had a really rough life. Her husband left her for another woman. She was trying to raise her two boys as a single parent. Had a business for a while. It kind of went under. Both of her boys preceded her in death. And now she's in a home. Doesn't really want to be in a home. And a lovely lady, Aunt Lois. And we had such a wonderful time visiting with Aunt Lois. She was so glad to see us. I don't know if anybody's ever been glad to see you like that, but it was like, wow, we didn't know we were so special. But she made us feel really special. And so I prayed for Aunt Lois before we left. And I was praying about the losses that she had had. And it just hit me like never before. While I was praying for her, whatever we lose over here is a seed that is planted. And it's going to be gorgeous on the other side. Just like you put a seed in the ground, it has to die and it becomes a flower. That's the difference between death and heaven. So whoever we said goodbye to on this side, the next time we see them, it's going to blow us away. We're going to be so happy for them that they are on the other side. We're going to see what God has done for them. And it did something in my heart. It shifted something in my own mind. As I was praying for her to be comforted in all of her grief and so on, and all of a sudden, I was all lit up thinking about my loved ones that have crossed. I can't wait to see them again. It's going to be great. Oh, there's so much we have to be thankful for. Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's start.